This episode is brought to you in part by Swim. Here's the thing about wishlist apps. Most of them just sit there. A customer saves a product, and then nothing happens. Swim actually activates that data. When someone wishlists a product, you could trigger price drop or back-in-stock alerts and feed that intent directly into Klaviyo or your CRM. You're not guessing what people want, because they've told you. Plus, customers can share wishlists for gifts, and your team can view them to offer personalized service online or in-store. And unlike cart abandonment, wishlist data is permission-based. These are people raising their hand saying, "Hey, I want this, just not right now." Swim's been around for over a decade. It powers 45,000 stores and installs in about 5 minutes. You could try it for free today at getswym.com/Kurt. That's getswym.com/Kurt. Today on the unofficial Shopify podcast, we are talking about my favorite promotion, free gift with purchase. Okay, that's a little self-serving. We're actually talking about an app we recently launched, Promo Party Pro, that does, yes, just what I described, free gift with purchase, my favorite promo. And man, building an app for Shopify, this is, you know, one of several we've now built. It's something I greatly enjoy. And so I thought, we talk through it and trying to uncover and expose the reality of it. Because even with AI, turns out this isn't easy. It was never easy. It still isn't easy. But I think we've, from our experience, really built something polished. I'm proud of it. I just want to talk about it, have a chat with my friends here, Paul Rita and Carl Meisterheim, on that experience. Mr. Rita, thank you for joining us. You're here with me in the office, as always. And Carl, I see you're living in your car now.
I am. I'm in my carfus.
Your carfus. Good.
I just want to say to the Federal Trade Commission, this episode is brought to you by Promo Party Pro, an app that we made. And if you buy it, we get money.
Yes.
So
let's make that clear.
That's why we're telling you about this app we made. It's because we'll get money. So everything we're saying, we feel is true. However, we're also saying it, so we'll get money.
Yeah. Like, we own all of these things. I paid myself a sponsorship here, but let's be honest.
But we're doing that for you, the user.
It's good to get that out of the way.
The end user.
You will get more money out of this app than we do.
That's the goal.
Every individual. But if you pool it all together, we'll get more money.
Shh.
Kurt, why did we make a free gift for purchase app?
Well, all right, after making several apps, we had one crowdfunder that's really been quite successful. It's generated $500,000 in revenue for our small agency business. I'm proud of that. That's awesome. I, of course, want more of that. I want to repeat that experience. But it's so hard to come up with an app idea that hasn't been done already. And so I think the difficulty with an app like crowdfunder, it's too niche, right? There's only... It works. It's great. But unless you are in the position of, I want to run a Kickstarter-style crowdfunding pre-order campaign on my website. Oh, and also I want to do that repeatedly, just as an app that you can scale, I think it hits a limit. And so I have learned from that experience. Like, it's got to be easy, useful. But, I want something with broader appeal. And on this show, if you go back through it, nonstop, I repeat, my favorite promotion is free gift with purchase. And after saying it for, the 100th time, it one day finally occurred to me, wait a second, why don't we build our own free gift with purchase app? Because certainly there are free gift with purchase apps. There are many.
That was going to be my next question. I was just like, because no other free gift with purchase apps exist?
Yeah, no, there's plenty of choices for you, but none that works. Of course, exactly the way I think it should work. My opinionated way of this is how an app should work based on, past experience with other apps and with our own apps. So finally, I said the magical phrase that starts all entrepreneurial journeys, why not me, right? Well, there's a problem. I'm not actually an app developer. And that's where our friend Carl comes in.
Well, wait a minute. Let's roll it back for a second.
All right.
Why is Free Gift with Purchase so good? I know why it's good, because I see Hoonigan. Hoonigan used to kill it, Free Gift with Purchase, because they would make like limited Hoonigan pins that would cost them, I don't know, 10 cents a pin, and then be like,
those are collector's items.
Yeah. And so then it's like, oh, but if you buy if you spend $100 today, you get our special limited edition pin that's only for sale today, and you'll get it, you know, along free with your purchase. And their average order value on those days would skyrocket because everyone's spending an extra $50 to get the extra 10 cent pin. Hello, free money.
Yeah. I mean, ultimately, the advantage to a Free Gift with Purchase campaign is it bumps your average order value by giving the customer a entirely optional and voluntary excuse to spend more money and be rewarded for it if you want to. That's what I love about it. You know, with a typical discount promotion, you're just saying, I am taking my stuff and now I'm going to devalue it for you. And if you'd like, you could purchase it.
Yeah.
Where, and you know, unless you could do like a tiered campaign, but all right, now I got to do math in my head. I think like that's the problem with, you know, that alternative. Free Gift with Purchase doesn't have that. It's very clear. Like, spend X, get Y. Buy X, get Y. It is clear what the value prop is there. And where I think it really does magic is if the Free Gift with Purchase is an exclusive item, you know, a limited edition item. And you alluded to that with Hoonigan.
My recommendation always is the gift should not be for sale on the store. It should be a thing that can only be acquired via you jacking up how much you're putting in your cart.
Yeah. And, you know, at the same time, it doesn't necessarily have to be like limited or exclusive items. It could be stuff that's available in the store. It
could be stuff you have on clearance that you're trying to get rid of.
Yes. Where suddenly it's like, all right, I didn't want to pay $15 for that, but if it's Free Gift with Purchase, all right, now I'm more interested. And so, you know, like Pins and Aces, we had Nick Mertz on the show recently. They've run Free Gift with Purchase campaigns for years at this point because, you know, for these reasons. And it's, hey, you know, it's usually spend X, get a free ball marker. And you were talking about the Hoonigan pins. You know what a ball marker is?
Yeah,
like in practice?
Oh, I've tagged along on many golf rounds.
Well, the physical thing here.
I know what it is, yeah.
Yeah, and it's an enamel pin without the pin.
Yeah, it's like a coin, but the tiny coin.
Yeah, like a medallion or coin, yeah. It's
a dime. I mean, literally, if you're a cheapskate, you just usually use a dime. If you don't want a special ball marker, you just put it down a dime.
Okay, but they have the licensed good stuff. Like, if I want Stan Marsh bouncing on a part of his anatomy, boom, they got that as a ball marker.
The Free Gift with Purchase thing, it reminds me a little bit of, I don't know, growing up, getting cereal, and there'd always be a little prize in the cereal box.
Oh, that's 100%, yeah.
Same thing with baseball cards. You get a stick of gum. You have to buy the whole pack of baseball cards.
The problem with that, the gum's
bad. A little
bit
of delight. The gum's bad, but you get a little bit of delight with something that's just normally happening.
A little bit of delight. Yeah. Yes.
All right. Everyone wants to do this. It's been a known thing since the 1950s, according to Carl, because they're packing gum and little toys into the boxes of Lucky Charms.
Yeah, you got like a bar of soap with your Lucky Charms or whatever in 1955.
Well, you're getting packs of gum with your Tops.
Get so, like a sample of cigarettes with your Cheerios. Not a thing that ever happened.
So obviously, we are the first people to think of implementing this on Shopify, right? There was no other way for a store owner to make this happen.
Well, all right, this is what's funny. In Shopify itself, there is not a way to make this happen.
I figured.
I could run a discount. I could do a buy X, get Y. So I could get the product to discount.
Well, don't tell Shopify that it's not built on Shopify, because then
they're aware.
They're going to do that and they're going to Sherlock us. We're going to get screwed.
Fundamentally, the reason you need an app for this is because the product doesn't add to the cart on its own. The customer would have to know to go find the right product and add it to cart like that. And so the messaging is not part of this. That mechanism to add the product is not part of this. Just the ability to automatically discount it is there. And so we've tried to run the campaigns that way too. You just end up with a bunch of people going, hey, I placed an order, but I forgot about my free gift. Can you add it? So, and of course, you know, this an order editing solution like Cleverific would solves that a little bit, but you know, I don't want to have to get to that place.
Hit the sponsor ding on that. Cleverific.
Cha-ching. Yeah. I mean, legit app though, but yes, they are a sponsor.
So you need an app to make this happen.
Yeah. I need an app to just have the thing add automatically.
And as I said previously, we have the first app that lets you do that?
Not the slightest. Not at all. In fact, many have come before us, but, you know, the problem with being, you know, having many before us, there's like legacy to it, right? There's features they have that they have to support that don't necessarily fit into, you know, how Shopify even looks today or works today. And in building, making Crowdfunder a built for Shopify app, we actually, you know, we've gotten quite good at matching the user interface that Shopify uses. It's called Polaris, you know, and leveraging that. And so it's like, I just want this thing to feel just as good and seamless as a Shopify product, which means it's easy to use and it just works. It turns out in practice, that's the hard part.
The most consistent annoying thing about my job currently, besides Kurt himself, is apps that you go, you're like, oh, you got to edit something in unnamed app. And you click on it, and it suddenly takes you to a completely different website where you need to log in with your own special login you have for that app. And then you finally get into it, and there's a giant right rail navigation with like 40 different things in it. And it's like, oh, no, you see, it's not an app. It's a platform. Ugh. It's a platform for everything you ever wanted to do. And anytime you got to go through that shit, it sucks. It's terrible. It's like, I want to make one small change on this app on my Shopify store. But no, you actually need to log in to this completely different website and fight through 30 layers of menus in order to figure that out.
Where did Recharger Yotpo hurt you, Paul?
Oh, I was thinking about Rebuy.
Oh, Rebuy. Okay. Yeah.
So anytime we make an app, the main thing I care about, it just works. It does. Our apps declare that they will do one thing for you. And then they just do that thing. It's a simple app that does one thing. It does it very well. And that's all it's going to do. We're big, big believers in minimum viable product, the minimum amount for it to be a product. And then we want to keep it as minimum as possible because it's less likely to break or be a pain in the ass in your life.
Yeah. It's
just going to happen.
I don't let other people build platforms. I just want to make tools that work.
Yeah.
I'm just giving you like, hey, this screwdriver, it will 100% will not strip this screw.
So Carl, we were like, we've decided all the other apps suck, but we're also too stupid to make our own app. We need someone less stupid than us.
Brilliant.
That led to Carl Meisterheim.
I need someone else to do this for me.
And I know there's nothing a developer loves more than someone calling them and saying, all right, I got a great idea for an app, but you got to build it, but we'll split the money. How about that?
It did seem a little Rick and Morty-ish to me when I got that call from Kurt.
Okay, I like that comparison.
So it's kind of like that, but I've always enjoyed working with you two, and I wanted to get into that space some more anyway. So I thought, here's a great opportunity. Even if it ends up being something that ends the universe, it at least will have been a fun ride. So let's do it.
I don't think our app will end the universe, but you know, I appreciate you coming along and helping and building it with us. Is this the first app you've done?
No, this is the first public app I've released, but I've done other private apps for clients over the years.
Give me one thing that surprised you about the Shopify public app building experience.
Well, there's a couple aspects to it that were surprising. I think one was how such a simple idea could take so long to implement, which maybe is a reflection on me as a developer. But I think as we dug into it, while the idea at its core is very simple, the complexity really is around state management and the theme side of things in terms of dealing with cart product additions and deletions, all that sort of stuff, and making sure that works.
So with an app like Free Gift with Purchase, I think it is easy to go, well, that's easy. You know, anybody could build that. Give me, you know, some of those edge cases, the stuff that's like, all right, well, this is where it actually gets quite complicated to make this, you know, really bulletproof.
Yeah, there's a couple of them. I would say the first and foremost in my mind is people might know from my other podcast that I tip my hand as not being a fan of JavaScript. I prefer the full stack or backend environment, Ruby and Rails, trying to understand all the different ways that people interact with the cart and how to make sure that we could capture that information and understand when and when not to fire our own code to add or remove products. You do that in a way that was reliable and didn't get in the way of the customer what they really wanted to do. That took some thinking and some exploring, right? Because sometimes we want to show our modal, but the customer doesn't really want to see it again. And so how do you determine like what is a reasonable amount of time between showing it, allowing them to dismiss it, removing the items that we just added for them, you know, making sure that there was some control for the user, but also that we got our functionality across. That's one big one.
Well, and also, you know, just in Shopify themes, first we need to support the wide array of themes and how they make the card appear. And then even within those themes, you could have three different ways of displaying the card. Is it a mini cart? Is it a drawer? Does it redirect you to the cart page? I mean, one of our early beta testers, they had redirect to the cart page set on. The user would click add to cart. Our little pop-up would fire that would be like, hey, you're going to get a free gift. Pick your free gift. But the user would get pushed to the cart page before our pop-up showed up. So they would never see it at any time. So it's like, oh, okay, well, we got to think about that.
Here's a word from our sponsor, Zipify. Hey, the holidays are over. Traffic's down, ad costs are still up, and you're staring at Q1 wondering how to keep momentum going. Here's the move. Stop leaving money on the table with every order. One-click upsell automatically increases average order value by up to 30% with AI-powered upsells across your entire customer funnel. Launch pre-purchase and post-purchase upsells for every product in your store in one click. Customers get personalized offers and spend more as a result. Unlike other apps, you only pay for those results, not views. It takes under 2 minutes to set up, and it starts working immediately. Q1 doesn't have to be a slump. Make every order count while you rebuild traffic. Go to zipify.com/Kurt for your 30-day free trial. That's zipify.com/KURT. And let's start the year profitable. As either, you know, an agency using these apps on behalf of a client or a merchant using these apps for their own store, you have to have a little bit of empathy with the app developers in that the theme developers don't necessarily know what apps you're going to run and how the apps are going to approach it. And the apps definitely aren't sure, you know,
what theme you're running, how your theme executes this one specific thing. Like, yeah, it's all different.
And so that, like, that's a real wild card. And Shopify does their best to standardize things and say, like, hey, here's the best approach. This is best practice. This is what we expect, what we want. If you follow those things, life gets easier. But in practice, in the wild, you're going to see some strange things in, you know, theme code.
So one of the things you have to think about is how to maintain the integrity of what you're presenting to the user in terms of the code you're delivering. And obviously Shopify makes it easy with theme extensions. Like, we no longer are in the days where we have to manually edit a shop's theme to insert our little thing or hope the merchant does it correctly. We can programmatically inject all of that. But what we don't necessarily have control over is how the theme behaves in terms of the events that it uses, custom events it fires, like you were saying before, the configuration of the cart, all those issues. So in a perfect world, we'd be like a fully integrated vertical type of experience where it's very well crafted into every single shop. But what we have to do is figure out, since we can't guarantee that, since there's just a bajillion permutations of how that could function, what can we do that makes the most sense and provides the best experience across the board? And that takes a lot of expertise, like you and Paul, having seen so much, being able to work with me to figure out how to do that, I think was part of our secret sauce.
Yeah, being experienced theme developers, you're right. It really helps in trying to avoid or, you know, uncover some of the oddball issues that you can get with theme app embeds. And then, you know, on the topic of theme app embeds, in the past, performance has been an issue with Shopify. This is a thing like we've all fought with. And they, over in recent years, have really gone through a lot of effort to make sure that performance is not an issue anymore. And, you know, how apps approach things, how themes approach things, and those app embeds, I think, are a big part of that. Any issues, Carl, or thoughts on, you know, keeping things performant?
With this sort of app, discounting logic is all done with functions. And so Shopify, by nature and the way that they set up functions, forces you to be performant with that. So the actual seeing the discount appear in the cart and in the checkout page, all that stuff is fine. The bigger issue is around interacting with the cart using API, using REST or whatever it is. There we have to be a little more careful. And that really comes down to the logic and how we assess what's in the cart, assess what campaigns might be eligible at that particular point in time, and then how we update the state of the cart and do that in a way that's performant. Because you want to go fast, but you can't go super fast because there's a little bit of lag with the cart API. And so if you try to do that, you quickly get into a state where you're no longer understanding what's actually in the cart and it just gets all wonky. So you even have to introduce delays on purpose in some aspects. So it's a tightrope.
Interesting.
Yeah, I mean, again, like we said, this sounds simple on a surface.
I thought it would be.
Yeah, like
I really did.
Like, the user, all right, the cart, they added, the cart totals $50. Add a free gift to the cart and make it, add a gift to the cart, make it free. Done. Oh, yeah, that was easy. All right. Is the gift already in the cart? Okay, don't add another one. Is the gift in stock? Okay, we got to make sure about that. Is it over $50, but then there's a coupon code or a discount on the product to see if it's actually ends up being under $50 when it hits the cart so that maybe they don't need to get the free gift?
Did we
fire the free gift pop-up at them already and they said, psh, I don't want that shit, and they closed it out? Okay, do they never get the gift ever again now? Or do they get the gift every time they add a new thing to their cart? We don't know. Like, all that sort of stuff just needs to be constantly checked and rechecked and figured out to make sure nothing breaks along the way.
And the thing that eats apps alive is support, is, you know, having to fix the same issue over and over. And so, yeah, that creates a bad experience for the user too. It's like, hey, I just want to use this thing that advertises itself as being very reliable, and then I run into a road bump. And so you've got your support that helps, it fixes it. But you don't want to just be like seeing the same problems over and over again. And so we really went through a lot of effort on thinking like, all right, let's be proactive. Let's validate these issues in advance. And so setting up free gift with purchase campaigns, one of the mistakes I've seen over and over is the person goes, it's a free gift, so it should be free. And they mark it $0. Yeah, what happens when you make it $0?
Right, so the gift is, it's a free gift, but it's a product on your store. That's the only way we can add it to the cart and it could go through checkout and you got to ship it. It's a product on your store. So they go, well, this is a free gift, so what's the price? Oh, well, it's free. And Shopify has now added unlisted products, which are very hard to get to.
Yeah, they're essentially hidden.
They're hidden unless you know the URL and you can get to the URL. But I don't know, you know, I don't know if that's 100% right all the time. But if you make it free, if you make it $0, someone's going to find that and they're going to put it in their cart and they're going to buy 100 of them. And now they just bought 100 of these things for $0. And it's like, well, you got to make sure you catch that. You got to cancel the order. You got to maybe set up some sort of, warning in your back end that's like, oh, we got a $0 order. Maybe take a look at that, you know, that sort of stuff. I mean, that would happen all the time. So we're always like, no, you got to give it a price.
And so it's a condition we check
for. That's one of the things we check for is, does the free gift have a real price on it? Because if you make it $0, you're not going to like it.
Yeah, you're just inviting abuse. We check for, all right, it has a price, and then our discount applies to it. Okay, this is the thing I didn't expect. The discount combinations are the thing that people struggle with. You create our support tickets and confuse them. Because in Shopify, I could create a discount. I can decide which discounts it combines with. And we use the discounts API. And so our app just tells Shopify, like, we are responsible for this discount and we're running it through Shopify. So like the whole system's aware. Let's say we use a product discount because we're discounting a product. The customer then applies your welcome 15 coupon. What happens?
Well, now we're under $50, and so they shouldn't get the free gift anymore, right?
Yeah. Well, so now I remove it.
Yeah.
Okay, that's not what they wanted. Or.
And now the customer's pissed because they're going to say, well, where'd my free gift go?
Now they're mad. That I can't do anything about. So, okay, what about now they've got, you know, our free gift is there, and they've got their welcome 15. They still meet the threshold, but the discounts aren't set to combine. And so what? Which one takes precedent? Well, the order discount takes precedent. So they get 15 off everything, but now the free gift have a price attached to it. This is the one thing I haven't been able to solve for. You know, how do we know what discounts do and don't combine until we actually apply it? There's just not a way for us in the API to see that in advance and surface that problem. And so I've got a whole help article that's just like, here's how discounts combine in Shopify. If you want them to combine, that is up to you. You have to just check combine on both of them, right? That's it. Not difficult. You know, it's available in our app as an option, and then on your other discounts, you got to set it. But that's just not obvious. And so I'd love a way, you know, as a future feature that we could check that and at the time of a campaign creation go, hey, you have these active discounts and they're not set to combine, you know, just FYI if that's intentional. But I don't think we could do it, can we, Carl?
Well, I wouldn't say we can't do it. We'll have to look into it and do a little research figuring out. I mean, I think in theory we could look at all the discounts and assess what the combines with options are set. But alluding previously to your and Paul's vast experience, like some shops have a couple of discounts, some have thousands of discounts, depending on what they're doing, right? And so we'll have to examine whether it's performant, whether it makes sense to even try to do that. And if you do do that, what do you do with that information? Show it to the admin, hope that they take action. You're not going to modify the discounts that you didn't create on their behalf. I don't think you even could. So,
yeah, no, 100%. And so it's just like what seemed like a simple idea, an app that performs a single task. Well, it turns out there's just so many variables when you put them into practice with people that you know, you have to account for and then have, you know, paths for. Wow. Suddenly it's like, if this was difficult to build, imagine the gnashing of teeth that occurs when you're trying to maintain a product like Shopify itself. The fact that it works as well as it does, you know, put in perspective, I'm like, wow.
Well, they have many Carls.
Many Carls.
We just have one Carl.
We got one Carl. Mm.
I know there's a lot of little Carls running around that house. That's why you're in the car right now.
Yeah, are you hiding from your children?
Perhaps. I love them dearly, but they are a little, how shall we say, boisterous. So,
yeah, I think in the course of making this and in the course of like, all right, we kind of got it. It does what it says on the tin. The biggest fight we had is over the sleep timer.
That's funny.
Which is, okay, again, added I added my thing to the cart. The free gift of purchase thing popped up. Add your free gift. Usually, you know, if it's got like variants, like you get a free shirt, you got to select the size on the shirt that you're going to get as your free gift. So they have to do something in that box. And, you know, people just see pop-ups all the time. So they immediately click on that X.
Yeah, just a knee-jerk reaction.
And it's like, okay, well, was that a knee-jerk reaction or do they not want the shirt?
We don't know.
We don't know. Okay, they're going to continue buying. So they bought something else. They're already over the threshold. Now they add another thing to their cart. Do we pop the pop-up up again? Do we annoy them on every single page load on the store?
Well, you're giving up your free gift.
What about your free gift, idiot? Don't you want that? What if they don't want it? And now they get mad and they go, I'm sick of this store. This store's a pop-up on every page. This store sucks.
Yes.
And they leave without buying.
A free gift sounds great until you actively know you don't want it. And then it's forced upon you. And it's frustrating. Like for that user who's in the minority, that's frustrating because to them, you're just going, here's a piece of garbage that's going to stop on your house on the way to the landfill. That's what they see.
Yeah. Or it's the other way where they're like, the pop-up flies up and they go, ugh, and they close it right away. And they're
like, wait a second.
They go, wait a minute. Did that say free gift on it?
I've done that.
Yeah.
And I'm like, oh.
And so then it's like, okay, well, then we should annoy them with it and bring it up again so they can get their free gift. But it's like, how often do you do that?
And so, of course, the right answer was it's got to be a user control.
I mean, yeah, it's one of those things where it's like, I feel like you're going to ask 20 people and they'd all give 10 different opinions about
That's
it.
That's what happened.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, ultimately, that is what happened. And so it became a user preference in there. But even when you go, all right, we're going to make all these difficult questions, these squishy ideas, we're going to make those preferences. They still need defaults. So what's the default? Yeah. And I think in our case, it has a cool down period where like it'll fire again. It's just not going to do it immediately.
Then there's the other case, too, that you guys brought up, which is what if merchants want to support multiple campaigns at the same time? And what if more than one of those campaigns is actually eligible based on the state of the cart? How do you present that to the customer? Which we figured out, but it was something to think through.
Yeah, in the world of adding a product, all right, they've added multiple products before, but they still haven't hit the threshold. And then they add a final product that puts them over two different free gift with purchase thresholds. What do you do there? Carl, what do we do there? I don't even know.
We present them one at a time in a very sensible and coherent manner so they can be in control, have full agency, and decide what they want to do.
I like that. Yeah. I wish that was the answer to most questions. We put you in control agency.
We do it right.
Yeah.
That's what he said.
We do it right, not wrong. That's easy. I'm just going to put that up on the board. Mission statement. Do it right.
I was just going to say another aspect that I think we found challenging working together to develop this is like you alluded to previously, it's a very simple idea. We want to keep it simple. We want it to be small, so it's performant, easy to reason about, whatever. So when we started, we had this conception of like what kind of free gifts we want to offer, what kind of triggers we want to present. As we continue to develop the app, we began to realize there was more complexity in terms of what you guys hoped to see in terms of functionality. A recent example being, previously, we only supported adding free gift variants within a single product to a campaign. And mentally, that's where I went with the data model, right? It was like, that's all we ever need to support. It'll be easy. We'll keep it simple. And then you guys brought to me the idea that let's add the ability to add free gift variants across multiple campaigns or across multiple products for a single campaign. And because of the way that I had chosen to structure the data and because of the way Shopify works, it took a little bit of doing to make that work. Those are the sort of things you don't necessarily anticipate at the beginning to add complexity to it. But in hindsight, it's worth it and it works well. And it just takes a little bit of thinking.
Man, those order change emails suck. They're always like, I ordered the wrong size. I meant to change the shipping address. Oops, I was drunk. Instead of making customers email you that stuff, let them fix it themselves with Cleverific. Cleverific is a self-service portal that lets customers edit their orders without bugging you. That means you get fewer headaches, customers get faster fulfillment, and there's fewer returns overall. Everybody wins. Peter Manning, New York, cut their support tickets by 99% with Cleverific. You want in on that? Get 50% off the pro plan, just $49 a month, exclusively for listeners of the Unofficial Shopify podcast. Go to cleverific.com/unofficial and use promo code KURT50. Done. Problem solved. That's Cleverific.
So it's like, you know, instead of it being like this one pin, this is our free gift pin, you instead go, well, you can have any pin for free now.
Pick.
Yeah, pick. Pick which of the many pins we have to be your free gift. Okay, well, now they got to select multiple products in order to define what the gift is, and Carl's got to rewrite the whole thing in order for that to work.
Which you did in, as far as I can tell, a matter of a few days.
Yes.
Carl, is this whole thing vibe-coded?
No, not completely, but there are parts of it. I mean, it was good timing, right, when we started on this adventure a little over a year ago, because at that point, coding agents were mature enough that you certainly could utilize them for certain tasks. It helps remove a lot of that initial, I guess, inertia of getting started with certain features, because it helps propel you into the idea space, the solution space more quickly. And then being an experienced software developer is a key asset, because what it helps me to do is assess what I'm being presented by the AI, smelling what's BS, what's not, and then being able to work with that tool to automate the things that it can automate for me, but also being fully in control in terms of the architecture and the structure of the app, making sure that it all makes sense.
Man, I like that answer. Well, I think, you know, there's this idea that like, you know, AI is a magic button and I could just go, I need an app. It has to do this. Go. And I just don't think it's the case.
Well, obviously not.
I mean, like, yeah, you could build stuff, but to, you know, to build something that could scale, to build something that's secure, to build something that works really well, I don't think it's realistic to go, well, AI is going to do it entirely on its own. And even now, you know, things like Claude Code are quite exceptional. But
yes,
there are limits. And, you know, you still need to know how to do the thing you're asking the AI to do, or else how would you know if it did it right? I never worry if an app is reliable. Will this app stay up during our high traffic sale? It's just nothing I ever worry about, because in practice, it is not a problem. For someone who's not, you know, familiar with modern web architecture, why do you think that, you know, these scaling problems just don't happen anymore? You know, why aren't like apps and Shopify stores just dropping like flies the moment they have a flash sale?
That's an interesting question, Kurt. And I don't know if I would share the same conclusion that it doesn't happen anymore. I think it happens less. I think for us, it's going to not be an issue. And one of the reasons why is, you know, I'm no stranger to anxiety, especially for things that I build and have responsibility over. And so one of my main principles when writing this was, I want to push as much of this off onto other reliable services than anything that we have direct control over. So relying on Shopify, relying on other things. For example, we ingest webhooks. When someone makes a change to a product, if we want to know if they changed something about one of our trigger products or free gift products, we need to reflect that on the app. So you have to be paying attention to that. However, I don't want to be responsible for being able to scale and adjust thousands of shops with thousands of webhooks all coming at the same time. And so utilizing services like we use Hookdeck, for example, which helps us provide a robust third-party solution to ingesting webhooks for us and then giving them to us in a rate that we can handle if and when that becomes a problem. So that's one example. Another is in our compute environment. I know Paul really wanted to pull out his old 4060X from his closet and have us install the app on that. No, just kidding. But
Carl, it was a Commodore 64.
Okay, you're both wrong. You're both wrong. First, it was a an IBM PS1 that had a 486SX in it. The SX was the cut down version. It was not as good as the DX.
Oh, I'm so sorry.
Yeah, so it could not run Quake, unfortunately.
So we use a third party cloud compute environment, which allows us to easily scale containers. I mean, stuff that's not new, but there's lots of other vendors and services than there used to be. So it's not just Amazon, Google Cloud Compute, Microsoft, I don't know why you do that, or Heroku, but there's lots of them, right? And so we can figure out which technology works best for us and scale with it.
I mean, we did have it running on client stores on Black Friday, right? Our beta testers?
Yeah.
Yeah, we had beta testers run it on Black Friday. It did not go down. It worked perfectly. Everyone was happy.
And you have like Sentry set up. You have error monitoring occurring.
But that's another thing about my personality is I really want to understand what's happening. I really want to verify that what's happening is true. And so there's lots of opportunities built into the app for us to inspect what's going on. But yeah, we have automatic triggers and alerts, both for performance and also for error rate, things like that. So if something were to go amiss or awry, we would be aware of that quickly and be able to dig in and get it resolved.
Carl, Kurt's been making random esoteric demands of you. So what's next on the app of things that Kurt just wants to happen for no reason whatsoever?
There's reasons. You know, they just live up here.
Yeah, that's a good question, Paul. You know, we sync up on a regular basis in Cadence to kind of assess what are the merchant needs, what are the things that you guys are leaning into or hearing from our customers about what would make life better. The constant struggle that we face is how to keep this app focused, easy to use, simple without being tempted to bring in a whole bunch of other stuff, right? And so I think we kind of have that filter every time we talk through, wouldn't it be nice if, okay, yeah, but is that something they really need? Is that really going to bring value? Is this worth adding to the cognitive load of using this app?
How hard is it for you to implement? Because I mean, you know, when we added the multiple products thing, the question was, well, why can't we just let the store owner just add an entire collection? Just like have it bring up the collection listing. They have a collection called free gifts and they just click on that, or everything in the shirt collection. You know, why can't that just happen?
And I remember you were like, that's actually a nightmare. So that's why, unfortunately, our store owners have to click on each individual gift product.
Yes, that was a fun one.
Because we need to, you need to monitor the collection. You need to see whether a product gets added or removed from that collection. I mean, that does a monster increase in the amount of monitoring and pinging and saving of store data that we need to do.
Yeah, the moment, when we think through these features, well, Carl, you keep track of them in a spreadsheet. And what's clever is we rank them as level of effort and priority. And priority is like the squishy one that could change. And it's like, okay, you know, how many people does this benefit really is what we're looking for. But then, you know, how difficult is it? Because if its level of effort is high, then potentially it comes at the expense of developing other features at that time. And if level of effort is high, you kind of assume like, well, this could create additional issues if you haven't thought through it. And so really, it's been interesting, you know, to think through those things. Yeah. I think the one that involved, it was like literally days of discussion was this stupid cooldown period. Like, what, you know, if they dismiss the pop-up, what do we do? We tortured ourselves with that.
Like, I mean,
it's
easy.
It's easy to torture yourself over some of these features too, but
only if you care as much as we do.
Mm-hmm. Well, I mean, you got to care. You do. You're saying it's a joke, but it's like, truly we do. And that's, otherwise you wouldn't be passionate about it. Yeah. But so what's coming down the pipe here, Carl? Yeah, you know, we got future ideas. What do you think is missing that you'd love to add?
I think one thing that we've considered looking into is how we might be able to do more on the checkout page itself, understanding that the direction things seem to be going, especially with agentic commerce, is lending itself to people perhaps interacting with your shop less and being more sort of just in the checkout space as they come to us from whatever tool or AI chatbot or whatever they're going to do. And so trying to figure out what
shop
are
app.
The limitations.
Shop app.
Shop app, yep. Yep. So there's lots of control that Shopify has over that experience that they don't restrict on other parts of the shop. And so understanding what are the available options to us, what would make sense for our users, and how can we make it work as well as the other parts work. So that's what we're kind of more exploring into right now.
No, I love that. I think checkout extension, definitely, it feels like, you know, potentially a heavier lift. It's, you know, a new set of challenges to explore, because part of that performance requirement is you are fairly limited in, you know, the size and scope of what a checkout extension could do. But yeah, no, that's on our list. That is a thing I definitely want to add. Checkout extension. Make this thing, because right now, like, it really, it does its work inside the theme and the discount API. Now we want to expand it onto a new surface that's the checkout. And to your right, you know, to your point, you're right. It's like there are so many paths into a checkout now that just aren't necessarily the online store. And the other hard part, of course, has been marketing promo party. That's why we're here. We've been at this for well over a year now. And so just, you know, sitting down, the three of us, and recording this and talking through it and kind of reliving that experience, it feels good. Like, really went from, hey, here's an idea, and then here's a proof of concept, to, oh man, here's all the hard problems associated with you got to solve, and, you know, the interface, and then like, well, man, there's documentation that's got to go with it, and there's an app listing, and then there's a website that's got to go with it, and help, like, it just spirals.
Obviously, we want to get built for Shopify, and so we need to, like, don't we need to have a certain number of views before we can even apply and start
reviews,
thinking about that?
Installs, right? I got to hit those metrics next.
Yeah, and then built for Shopify, they're going to have opinions that of things that we need to do in order to earn that badge, and we're going to do them because we want that badge.
Yeah, for sure. It's going to be like, all right, here's, you know, several rounds of a dozen changes each that will get this app in line with what is expected of the Shopify admin experience. And so absolutely, I will grin and eat it. You know, just, we'll do it. But, you know, there's thresholds we got to hit first before we can apply.
And so our next goal is for to hit that threshold, and that's up to you, the user.
That's up to you, listener.
Yeah, we need your help so we can qualify for Build for Shopify. Install our app, give us money, so we can get a badge that will get us more money.
a little more honest than I thought. It's for
that's
the love of the
they
game,
come,
Paul.
That's why they come to me. I don't lie to these people. I don't lie to you, the user. Ask not what you could do for yourself, but what you could do for me.
Man, that's going to be in the open, the cold open. Oh, God, that's good.
But yeah, I think install our app. There's a free trial. How long is the free trial?
Carl, how long is the free trial?
I thought it was on your side. I don't know.
Great job advertising.
I knew that would happen too. Man, I need this thing.
Long enough to know you'll love it.
All right. Search Promo Party Pro in the Shopify App Store or go to what's the URL?
Is it promo? You kept changing it.
You only had two. All right. And we'll keep it all. Just try that again. All right. If you want to see what we're so excited about, search Promo Party Pro in the App Store. There's a 15-day free trial. And the support, if you have issues with it, absolutely reach out to the support. We're actively developing it. So if the app doesn't work the way you think or expect, you could very well make the case for it. And then Carl, Paul, and I are going to argue about it on a Friday and then ultimately end up maybe implementing what you want. So you could be instrumental here.
And our promise to you is if you email support, a human being will answer your email and fix your thing for you if we decide it's worth fixing. But.
Yeah.
Well, it will be a human that either accepts or denies your problem.
Yeah. A lovely man named Julian. Julian is a great help and well familiar with troubleshooting these apps and issues. So, okay. Promo Party Pro. Man, Carl, you proud?
Very proud. Very excited to have done this, see it get out there, and to know that it's only going to get better as we continue to refine it and discover more of what people want.
Yeah, Carl, if this app is a success, you won't have to live in your car anymore.
Yeah, help Carl move out of his car. He's got kids. There's only so much room in the trunk.
Stop.
Well, we're not too bad at that. We'll end it there. It's over.